final case for argument today, United States versus Duncan, cause number 10-2303.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court. I represent Mr. Duncan on his appeal from the final decision of the District Court denying his motion for reduction in sentence under 3582. The facts of this case are pretty straightforward and were set out in a plea agreement with very little discussion or contention in the initial case. Essentially, the parties agreed to what was then the highest level under the guidelines that a sentence could be enhanced for the nature of the drug and the drug quantity, precisely level 38. In a plea agreement, the parties spelled out the facts that they believe supported this, and it's important to keep in mind that at that time the threshold was 1.5 kilos of crack cocaine. And the exact language the parties agreed on was, on one occasion, the defendant worked security, meaning that he looked out for law enforcement for Lawrence's organization when it was working out of the Wentworth Gardens. Time later, the organization moved its operation to the Claude Court area because the Wentworth Garden apartments were torn down. After the organization moved its operations to the Claude Court area, the defendant asked Cameron Wilson whether he, the defendant, could work security for the organization. Although Wilson told the defendant that he, Wilson, was not sure whether he, the defendant, would be allowed to work security thereafter, the defendant did, in fact, work security, being paid $50 per day. Sometime later, Lawrence asked the defendant to begin working as a packman. The defendant was paid $400 a week as a packman. That is the sum and substance of the facts that would establish his participation and knowledge, perhaps, of the quantities of the drug. At that point, all the parties agreed, and it was not even really relevant because all the parties agreed that he was in the highest possible level. Subsequent to that, the Congress of the United States passed the amendments that lowered it, and the threshold level now for the highest level would
be... This is the Sentencing Commission.
I'm right. Sorry, Your Honor. The Sentencing Commission... Yes, Congress passed a different act. The Sentencing Commission, at about the same time Congress passed the act, reduced the threshold level for the highest category of 38 to 4.5 kilos of crack cocaine, and now the 1.5 would fall on the level 36, which would give some substantial relief to Mr. Duncan. His co-defendant, Cameron Wilson, in this case, who had been involved in the organization longer than he was, in fact, was a personal friend of Mr. Lawrence since grade school, and on occasion had gone to purchase wholesale quantities of the cocaine, and the person that in our fact situation we agree he talked to and got him the job as a security was in fact granted a reduction subsequent to that. And the government agreed in his motion that he was entitled to it. The gist of our case is simply that the record in this case cannot support the judge's new finding, in essence, that the amount attributable to Mr. Duncan is more than 4.5. I think it can't really be characterized any other way than going back and looking at the record.
Well, you've got a PSR that was not objected to that recounts this pretty dramatically. This was quite an operation.
The problem with the PSR, Your Honor, and we cite all the case law that shows that there has to be a finding by the judge, some explicit finding of both the foreseeability of the defendant and the scope of his agreement with the organization. And that this, I don't think the PSR even stands, if you take it, assuming he could rely on it, what they say as to the defendant. With regard to the incident offense, the defendant worked as both packman and security for the Lawrence operation from 1999 until his arrest in 2002. The organization, using the most conservative estimate, sold approximately 1,000 dime bags of crack cocaine per day, with each bag containing approximately 0.15 grams of crack. Such a calculation results in approximately 150 grams of crack cocaine sold per day, or approximately 55 kilograms per year. And then this is the crucial statement that the government relies on. As the defendant's involvement in the organization lasted for at least 2.5 years, and the amount of cocaine reasonably foreseeable to the defendant, and then the subject and object of the sentence totally shifts, is responsible for at least 137 kilograms of crack cocaine under the sentencing guidelines. In the first place, this really makes no sense. If you go back to the facts we stipulated to, all they've done here is take what the Lawrence organization as a whole did for 2.5 years. The facts were that he worked when they were at the Wentworth operation for one day and got $50 for it. That's analogous to saying that a co-defendant's liability and a conspiracy liability is the same as someone working security in Sam's Club or Walmart, driving around the parking lot looking for opposition to the organization or malefactors or litters, knows what Sam Walton and the board of directors is doing. And all it says is he worked at Wentworth one day, and then sometime later. There's no specificity as to how much later. And there's also no analysis whatsoever anywhere in the record as to what is foreseeable to a security officer, or in this case, security for the organization, as opposed to a Pac-Man or a distributor, somebody who might have more. Those findings were simply never made. The case law in this circuit is clear that what the Lawrence organization was aware of, what was foreseeable to those and the higher-ups, such as Cameron Wilson, who was granted a reduction under the Sentencing Commission modification, cannot be attributed in just across the board, per se, without any analysis whatsoever, to everybody working in the organization.
But we've got I'm struggling with this because we've got a PSR that says this defendant is responsible for 137 kilos and no objection to that.
The reason I think for no objection is it was pretty moot. And the specific question put to the defense attorney at that point, and I wasn't the defense attorney at that point, was, is there anything you wish to dispute or disagree with? And he had a very valid criminal history argument that he wanted to. This issue probably wasn't really on his radar screen because he'd already agreed to the 1.5, which is the highest level. But if you take this sentence, I think just this sentence can't stand to support it. Because, and I thought of my third grade teacher, Sister Veronica, when we used to diagram sentence. This is the most grammatically incorrect and ambiguous statement I've ever seen in a PSR. Because what it starts out talking about is what the Lawrence organization did. As a defendant's involvement in the organization lasted for at least 2.5 years, which, by the way, there's no support in the record for the entire 2.5 years. He worked one day, then sometime later he got some more employment. He's being held accountable under this, which is by the facts agreed to and stipulated to, there's no support for everything the Lawrence organization did for 2.5 years. Then the sentence shifts, and the amount of cocaine reasonably foreseeable to the defendant, and this is totally grammatically incorrect, is responsible for at least 137 kilograms of crack. That can't be taken, I think, as a knowing and intelligent waiver on the part of the defendant with his level of education, when I don't think it even occurred to either the judge or either the parties at the time. But that statement is wrong. That statement's ambiguous, and that statement starts off with the subject matter being what the entire Lawrence organization did with no analysis whatsoever, no showing how a security officer knew how much other people were doing, how extensive the organization was.
Well, what could the trial judge have done here? The parties bring this to him. He asks if they have any objections, comments. Everybody's fine. We just want to go on. And he's presided over this pretty large conspiracy that's gone on for some time. He's got a lot of knowledge of it, and he's just saying, sorry, you don't qualify for the reduction.
Well, But I think with all the case law under Salem and Arroyo and that there has to be some specific finding. And it just goes to show that I don't really think there was a clear-cut analysis done here because all the parties, including the government, agreed that Cameron Wilson, who by any view of these facts was more involved in my
client. Well, they said they made a mistake, I think. Now looking back on it, they shouldn't have given the guy the reduction. I mean, we can't.
But there has to be some explanation in the record after Salem and Arroyo and that line of cases as to the specific finding as is this defendant. And it's equally plausible he made a mistake in denying Mr. Duncan because the facts simply don't suggest that he was there for a solid 2.5 years. The only facts that the pre-sentence report is relying on and the judge are what was stipulated to. And he's there one day, $50. How much did he learn about the organization on that one day? Sometime later. How much later? What did he know? I'm not asking for an extraordinary remedy here, such as you telling the district court judge he has to reduce it. We're asking that this be sent back so that findings can be made, the findings that were never made in the first place. And I think what happened to Cameron Wilson just underscores and kind of underlines and puts in bold that analysis was never appropriately done in the first place. I notice my yellow light is on.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Flynn. For the government, Mr. DeWald.
May it please the Court, Ron DeWald on behalf of the United States. The district court did not abuse its discretion when it denied the sentence reduction motion. The underlying record here supports the finding that the defendant was a part of the conspiracy and that he was accountable for the distribution of 4.5 kilograms of crack cocaine or more. The PSR in this case shows that this conspiracy was a very large conspiracy, occurred for numerous different years, and that it had an estimation of 150 grams of crack cocaine that was distributed per day. The defendant in his plea agreement talks about the different members of the conspiracy, talks about the shift supervisors, the pack men, the security, all these different people that were part of this. And it would only take, under 150 grams of crack cocaine distributed a day, it would only take 30 days to reach 4.5 kilograms. The defendant was a part of this conspiracy for over 2.5 years. The PSR determined when he joined the conspiracy and then when he ended with the conspiracy. And they determined, based on that, that it was 137 kilograms of crack cocaine was reasonably foreseeable to him. The defendant did not object to that finding at the sentencing, and the court adopted that finding. Therefore, when the court makes this new finding here...
How clear is the adoption?
I'm
looking at the language from the transcript, where the judge says, I'm going to retain the PSR.
He does, but in the statement of reasons attached to the JNC in this case, it says that the PSR is adopted in all purposes, with the exception of, and then it lists the criminal history category, determining that the criminal history category was overstated. In the PSR itself, we have included the language in our brief where it talks about how they arrived at the 137 kilograms of crack cocaine finding for drug quantity with respect to this defendant. So because of that, the base offense level of 38 applies under both the old and the amended guidelines. And therefore, the amendment does not have any effect on his sentencing on his sentencing range. And 3582C is of no avail to him. We're asking this court to affirm the denial of the sentencing reduction motion.
Thank you, Mr. DeWald. Rebuttal, Mr. Flynn.
There's 2 points I'd like to address based on what the government just said. In the first place, what the PSR ignored, what the government ignored initially and is ignoring now, is there's a difference between the foreseeability and the scope of Mr. Duncan's agreement with the organization. And there is no language that addresses the scope whatsoever, not in the plea. It was not conceded in the plea. It's not in the PSR, and it's not in the judge's analysis. And in Arroyo, this court goes on at some length, in fact, encouraging judges actually to write out their analysis, although not making it binding on the judges, but and disapproving on the facts of that case, which I think are similar to this case, just checking the box after the fact when it's not in the presence of the and it isn't brought. I mean, at this point, to say that the defendant knowingly and intelligently waived his right to challenge it, when that statement was so ambiguous and incorrect, I just don't think is fair. And I think there should be a principled reason and some analysis. We're not asking for a huge remedy here. We're asking simply that it be sent back and these factual determinations that were never made are now made on the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Flynn. The case is taken under advisement. Court will stand in recess.